Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Wix.com lets you easily create a beautiful professional website for free. With hundreds of stunning templates, cool features, and popular apps, you can get your business online today. Start now at Wix.com. That's W-I-X.com.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
More unease in Missouri. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti, Tuesday, August 19th. Glad you could be with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
There's been yet another night of confrontations between police and violent demonstrators in Ferguson.
Four St. Louis County police officers were hit by rocks and bottles and sustained injury.
Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson spoke this morning. We'll take you to Ferguson for an update.
Pro-Russian rebels are accused of killing dozens of civilians by firing on a refugee convoy. Meanwhile, heavy fighting continues in eastern Ukraine.
Given the runaway success of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, other health-related charities are hoping for a boost in awareness and fundraising.
New credit cards on the way that promise to offer more security, even if they mean more steps to achieve it.
There's really been kind of a chicken and egg scenario in this country for years. The credit card issuers did not want to put these cards in the hands of consumers until merchants could use them. And merchants didn't want to upgrade their technology to accept the cards until their customers actually had them.
Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel on the new chip cards. She's here in about 20 minutes. Tensions flared again last night as police confronted demonstrators in Ferguson, Missouri. Until then, there had been hours of peaceful marching to protest the police shooting death of an unarmed teenager. The clashes largely ended before midnight local time this morning as police ordered remaining protesters to leave. Shortly after 9:30 last night, a group of protesters were seen throwing things toward police in the street. Officers in body armor and gas masks had moved into the crowd earlier to remove some of the protesters, done all under the glare of dozens of television cameras. Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson held a news conference in the wee hours of the morning today.
Anyone who has been at these protests understands that there is a dangerous dynamic in the night. It allows a small number of violent agitators to hide in the crowd and then attempt to create chaos.
Captain Johnson called out those agitators, as he called them, saying, "We want the peaceful demonstrators to come out during the day. Let these agitators come out at night so we can identify them." More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling, who's on the T-Mobile hotline from Ferguson. Ben, what did you see?
There were a lot more police on the streets last night, and they sort of set up a cordon at the very beginning of the night, not letting cars drive down the main stretch of road that has seen all the protests and looting. So there was very little traffic, only foot traffic. Crowds were made to keep moving. At a certain point, the crowd started congregating at the ends of the road where the cordon was set up, and down in front of the burned out Quick Trip convenience store, which was burned up the first real night of protesting. The protesters threw something at the police, and the police responded with tear gas, scattering them, and they threw some flashbang type devices as well. At some point, police say shots were fired back near the apartment complex where Michael Brown was shot and killed. And the police went back into there and dealt with issues at that time.
Anything more that can be done to prevent the damage from the looting?
Well, in a lot of ways, the damage has been done. A couple nights ago, there was widespread looting in Ferguson, and the police didn't do anything that night. They just kept their cordon and allowed the looting to continue until daybreak. At that time, they came in and. Interestingly enough, tonight at a press conference, after all was said and done, Captain Ron Johnson said that a lot of his troopers and police that are under his command were upset that the police had allowed that to occur. And
yeah.
He sort of hinted that there are a lot of police who are upset with that leadership decision that he made.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling, who's with us this morning from Ferguson, Missouri. What do we know about some of these folks who are doing the actual looting? Because there's been enough peaceful protests, but then you got this handful causing some serious problems.
Right. And that is an excellent point, that there are lots and lots of people here in Ferguson who are doing peace, who are peacefully protesting. And, you know, during the daytime, there's a lot of clergy out, a lot of community members out, people of all ages trying to keep these protests peaceful. And then sometimes at night, the more violent elements come out. And in some ways, it's unfortunate that all the focus is on the violent protesters, but that's inevitably the way that it is, because that's what causes the deployment of all the police.
Yeah.
and all the tear gas and flashbangs and eventual other violent confrontation with the police. There's not a whole lot known about what exactly these looters, the looters were, because a lot of them haven't been caught, and there's no way to know if they were captured on camera in any way, or will the police be able to track them down in the future. Captain Johnson did say, though, tonight at the press conference, or this morning at the press conference, that some of the people who arrested, there were more than 30 people arrested tonight, no looting, but from violence. And there were people from as far away as New York City and California who have come here, it looks like, to help incite trouble.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling from Ferguson, Missouri, kind of confirming some of the complaints we've heard as of late, that a lot of these agitators, as Captain Johnson called them, are from out of town, specifically New York City and California. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Good Tuesday morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Pro Flowers. Let the woman in your life know you appreciate all she does. It's been 6 months since Valentine's Day, so she's due. Don't just get her a dozen, get her 18. That's right, 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. This is the biggest sale on red roses of the year. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and use the code WSJ to get this amazing offer. And if that's not enough, you can upgrade to 2 dozen plus free chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. Pro Flowers is quick and easy, and you pick your delivery date, and it's guaranteed. Can't beat the price or convenience. Here's the only way to get her this amazing deal. 18 red roses plus a free vase for $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's proflowers.com, click on the microphone, and type in WSJ. Order today. This deal expires Friday at midnight. A former New York City medical examiner has found, quote, no evidence of a struggle between Michael Brown and the police officer who shot him at least 6 times on August 9th, an encounter that has sparked more than a week of unrest in the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, Missouri. More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Pervez Shelwani. Pervez, tell us about the findings.
Well, two of the wounds were to the head, four of the wounds were to the arm, and then one of the wounds that was to the arm entered his chest. From looking at the body, they can tell that three bullets were removed. There is some question of whether the wounds appear to be defensive wounds or whether they're not. They see with the wounds, it could be possible that they're defensive wounds as far as Dr. Baden can tell at this point. But it's not a definitive. He's hoping to look at the initial medical examiner's report as well as look at Michael Brown's clothing and look at a medical report for the police officer who was taken to a hospital after the incident as well.
And there's been some question as to whether the shots to the head might have occurred while he was surrendering or even on the ground. Was that addressed?
There is some question about that. They are not 100% definitive that is the case. The lawyers for Mr. Brown's family have indicated that, but the doctors haven't gone that far in their press conference.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Pervez Shalwani, who's on the ground in Ferguson, Missouri. So what are the lawyers for the family of Mr. Brown saying now that they have this independent autopsy information?
The lawyers believe that, you know, he was acting in self-defense and that the autopsy report, as they will argue, will show that that the officer was firing at Mr. Brown while he was running away with his arms in the air. And there is some indication from the wounds to his arm that there may that is very possible that he was raising his arms in the air. But that also isn't 100% definitive at this point.
Is it considered unusual for an independent autopsy to be done in a case like this?
Well, they, you know, it was done more as a precaution. I mean, Dr. Bodden has said he knows the local medical examiner, has complete faith in her, and, you know, and was doing this more just on the off chance that for the family that his findings showed something different than what the medical examiner's findings showed. And then there was also some question they'd asked the attorney general's office to order its own autopsy report, and they hadn't up until the point when Mr. Bonden conducted his, but now that the Attorney General's office is in the process of doing theirs as well.
Thanks, Pervez. Wall Street Journal reporter Pervez Shalwani from Ferguson, Missouri. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
And good morning. More unrest in Ferguson, where police and demonstrators clashed again. One person was hit by gunfire. More arrests made. The renewed violence followed peaceful protests against the police shooting death of an unarmed teen.
We did not have a curfew tonight. As a matter of fact, we told some of the protesters that they could stay as long as they wanted. But after safety was a concern, it just happened to happen at midnight.
Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson. Now, at one point, some demonstrators formed a human chain in efforts to prevent the more aggressive protesters from reaching police. Unemployment is up in 30 states, even as employers in most states boost their hiring. The Labor Department says the jobless rate fell in 8 states last month, was unchanged in 12. There has been an increase in job hunters nationwide, where the unemployment rate last month was 6.2%. For the first time, Google plans to pursue kids under 13 for Gmail and YouTube accounts. The company plans to create a system where you, the parent, could control the account and what information is collected. Now, web companies need to be careful here because the law imposes strict limits on collecting data on children. Today, we'll watch for updates on housing starts and consumer prices. In the meantime, stock futures are higher after the Dow yesterday rose 176 points. The Nasdaq added 43, the S&P almost 17. Financial advisor Hugh Johnson says takeover activity provided a lift.
Dollar General buying Family Dollar, $9.7 billion. A lot of new money coming into the market, that signifies.
Today, Asian markets moved higher. London shares are up. Thermal imaging is coming to your smartphone as tech companies create add-ons for our devices. Now, you may think of this technology as something used by soldiers or firefighters, but experts also see potential for use in jobs like plumbing, where it could be used to spot leaks, or for use by consumers to find a lost pet. Well, maybe Gordon will finally find value in those piano lessons he took years ago and even take up playing again. A study from Japan finds that practicing the piano may be helpful for people with reduced dexterity due to aging or neurological disorders.
What about video games? I can't substitute video games for the piano playing?
Gordon, would you like to entertain us with your rendition of Greensleeves this morning?
Oh, please. Are you kidding me? I broke a wrist playing soccer. It was the greatest thing that ever happened because I got to quit playing piano. My sister was so good, and my parents thought, well, let's have him do it too. It was terrible. I hated it. Plus, I was horrible. But thanks for the suggestion, Gina. Much appreciated.
Sure. I guess we're not going to hear it then.
23 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Buick. Experience Buick certified service only at your Buick dealer. If you don't know worry-free service, you don't know Buick certified service. Visit BuickCertifiedService.com for the latest service offers and everyday value pricing. Changes are on the way to our plastic. chip credit cards are coming, but apparently Americans aren't ready for them yet. Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel, who covers the banking industry, says new credit card technology promises more security, but also more steps. Robin, what about these credit cards?
These cards have been in use for years in Europe, Asia, and Canada. Basically, they have a little computer chip in them, and they are more secure than the regular cards that we use now that have the magnetic stripe. And the reason they're more secure is because each transaction that you make has a unique code that's generated by the computer chip. And so if someone breaks in, hacks into a merchant, and they steal the data is worthless to them. So it's a much more secure form of payment.
So this, for example, could have prevented the Target hacking?
It doesn't prevent the hacking, but it makes the information useless to thieves. So you would think if the information is not useful to them, they probably won't try hacking.
Okay, so Europe, Asia, and Canada have been scratching their heads looking at us going, what are Americans waiting for?
Right. Well, there's really been kind of a chicken and egg scenario in this country for years. The credit card issuers did not want to put these cards in the hands of consumers until merchants could use them, and merchants didn't want to upgrade their technology to accept the cards until their customers actually had them.
So now at this point, we're at the breaking point?
Yeah, I think the Target breach was so vast that it really accelerated the movement. And also there are some new rules coming from Visa and MasterCard, which basically say by 2015, if you have a chip card in your hand and you use it at a retailer who is not able to accept that chip card, and if there is fraud, then the retailer then is responsible for any liability, any costs relating to that fraud. Right now, the banks absorb the cost, but they're shifting that liability in an effort to get the merchants to upgrade their technology.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Robin Seidel about these new chip credit and debit cards. So how long before we all have these?
Well, I mean, the numbers are really, really ramping up. Bank of America is issuing a lot of them right now. SunTrust is issuing them. Walmart's going to start issuing them. So more and more people are going to have them. The credit card companies started out really just issuing them to people who traveled frequently or had airline cards because they would be most likely to use them overseas. But now it's just becoming going to be much, much more common this year and next year.
Let's just hope that they are secure, right? So we can sleep better at night, not worrying about the hackers being one step ahead of us. 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Our desire to learn doesn't stop after college. That's the motivation behind The Great Courses. These are engaging video and audio lectures from top professors and experts in their fields. The Great Courses offers over 500 topics, including literature, history, art and music, science and philosophy. They also have courses on better living, like Practicing Mindfulness, an instruction to meditation. In this fascinating course, award-winning professor Mark Musi teaches the key principles and techniques of meditation through guided exercise to help improve your overall well-being. The Great Courses has been in production for over 20 years. You can watch or listen to The Great Courses with online downloads and streaming via their apps or on DVDs or CDs at your convenience without the pressure of exams. The Great Courses has a special offer for Wall Street Journal listeners. Order Practicing Mindfulness and get 80% off the original price. But this 80% savings is only available for a limited time. Don't wait. Go to thegreatcourses.com/WSJ. That's thegreatcourses.com/WSJ.
Wake up to the Wall Street Journal this morning, now on the WSJ radio app.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, August 19th. Gordon Deal sitting alongside Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the patrol captain in Missouri calls out the violent demonstrators. Saturday Night Live announcer Don Pardo has died. President Obama considers changes to immigration policy and lessons from the Ice Bucket Challenge. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. Well, as we've been telling you, tensions flared again last night as police in Ferguson, Missouri confronted demonstrators after hours of peaceful marching to protest the shooting death of an unarmed teenager by an officer. The clash has largely ended before midnight local time as police ordered remaining protesters to leave the intersection where the confrontations began. Meanwhile, neighboring towns are fearful. You may have seen video of demonstrators in Delwood, next door to Ferguson, shoot their way into a convenience store, then go after the cigarettes and booze before trying to burn the place down. More now from criminal defense attorney Janet Johnson is with us live this morning. Janet, where is this case at this point?
Well, apparently, as soon as tomorrow, a grand jury may hear evidence and decide whether to indict Darren Wilson, which is kind of a shocking turn of events to go from we want him arrested to now a grand jury is going to decide if he will be indicted. I think that's the next big thing we're going to see. Obviously, we're seeing dueling autopsies come out and dueling versions of the facts, which is what a grand jury basically has to determine. What are the facts?
Why is that a shocking turn? Just because of the order in which it has happened?
Well,
or it may happen?
What shocks me as a defense attorney is it's not unusual to see it take more than a week and a half or 2 weeks for a prosecutor to decide whether to charge someone. But in this case, it's like things went very slowly, and all of a sudden now we're going to go to a grand jury. And that just seems like the worst of both worlds. I mean, if you haven't done a thorough investigation and you don't think your investigation is complete enough to release the evidence and the reports in their entirety to the public, then how are you ready to bring it to a grand jury? And I think that's what concerns me as a defense attorney is if the prosecutor, who is, you know, his dad was a police officer, he has connections to law enforcement, and prosecutors are law enforcement. Mm-hmm. If the prosecutor is going to do a good job in front of a grand jury, and it's in secret, the defense can't see it, no one can see what happens in front of a grand jury. If he's just going to go through the motions and not get an indictment, which is unusual for a grand jury not to indict, the public's going to be even more upset, I think.
Right. All right. So but the old saying goes, right, in legal circles, you can indict a ham sandwich, right? It's easy to get an indictment.
It is, but I've had clients where the grand jury came back and didn't indict, and then the prosecutor can decide whether they're going to bring the charges. But it's possible to not get an indictment. It's unusual. But, you know, what we saw so far is one of the first pieces of evidence, which I don't even think is going to be admissible in a court, is the video of, you know, Mr. Brown committing allegedly a strong arm robbery, the victim. Is that the kind of evidence they're going to present in front of a grand jury? Because if it is, that ham sandwich might not get indicted.
Right. Well, that means nothing, right? I mean, whether the guy is a thug or he's not a thug. That's not relevant to what happened in this confrontation.
Yesterday was a little bit surprising because the police chief, Officer Jackson, or Chief Jackson, came out last week after that video was released and buried the lead. He said, now, Officer Wilson did not know about this cigar incident back at the store. He just thought he had two young men walking down the middle of the road. And that seemed to be the end of that. Well, that whole thing was a red herring. It was just a false alarm. Well, yesterday there's a version that was leaked to a radio station by a caller named Josie that's getting reported as if this is Officer Wilson's version. And that version was he did know that this person was a suspect, and he saw the cigars, which, you know, as a criminal defense attorney, my clients don't normally walk down the middle of the road flaunting the proceeds of their crime. But that was his motivation. That's what started the conflict. So we're already hearing very conflicting versions, which is not unusual.
Right.
But the way they're being presented is.
We're speaking with criminal defense attorney Janet Johnson, who's with us live this morning. How difficult does it become because there are so many versions of what happened?
Well, you know, what becomes difficult is I don't know who's narrating. And normally, you know, in Jacksonville, where I practice in Florida, Angela Corey is our state attorney, and she, for better or worse, she's the person who prosecuted George Zimmerman. And during that prosecution, while you might not have agreed with her style and what she did, you never doubted who was in charge in that situation. I don't think you get that feeling in Ferguson. I haven't personally seen the mayor. I know the police chief, Jackson, was sort of removed from the situation, you know, at least, you know, nominally.
Yeah.
And then you had Lieutenant Johnson from the Highway Patrol who was brought in. I haven't seen him in a couple of days. And the governor is periodically giving press conferences. And then you have the prosecutor McCullough. There isn't anyone clearly in charge. And I think that's the problem. Someone directing the narrative to say, okay, here's the facts as we know them. Hmm. But instead, they're like leaking their own facts, whoever they are. And you don't have a narrative that's being constructed.
Interesting. Good observation. Thanks, Janet. Criminal defense attorney Janet Johnson with us live this morning from Florida. Who's controlling the narrative in Ferguson, Missouri? It is 17 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. You know that feeling you get when you can get things done with just a click of your mouse? It can't get more convenient than that. Now you can even get your mailing and shipping done without leaving your desk, thanks to Stamps.com. Stamps.com turns your PC or Mac into your own personal post office that never closes. Talk about convenient. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your computer and printer. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in the mailbox. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale that calculates exact postage for letters and packages and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's stamps.com. Enter WSJ. The Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin is here now with a look at some of the stories we are following for you.
Well, as we've been hearing, protesters clashed with police last night in Ferguson, Missouri. Police say that one person was shot, 31 people were arrested, and four officers were injured. A lawyer for Texas Governor Rick Perry calls a felony indictment against the 2012 presidential candidate Banana Republic Politics. Mr. Perry was charged with abuse of official capacity and coercion of a public servant. And many of us woke up to the sad news that longtime Saturday Night Live announcer Don Pardo passed away at the age of 96. Gina will have more on all of today's top stories in America's First News coming up. And Gord, you might have some trouble believing this, but Johnny Manziel is in trouble again. The Cleveland Browns quarterback, who was not pleased with the taunting he was receiving from the Washington Redskins bench in a preseason game last night, decided to respond by flashing them the middle finger on his way back to the huddle. This was caught on camera, of course, and broadcast to the world. Suffice it to say, we can expect the controversial rookie to be hearing from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell at some point soon, if not already.
Really? He gave them the finger, and that's what everybody's excited about.
But it was on TV, on the NFL Network, I think. So
okay.
That's the commissioner's network.
Let me ask you this. What do you think would have been more offensive? The taunts that he was getting from the Washington bench, or the middle finger he flashed.
Oh look! He was upset about it. His coach is upset about it. I mean, they know this is a bad thing. But sure, if those taunts have been caught on a microphone, sure.
Could you imagine
they were not?
If we ever heard the audio of what happens, like in the trenches when the linemen get together,
you know how much they have to bleep out from those NFL films things.
No, I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I own a growing company, and predictable monthly expenses make it easier to run my business. That's why I switched to the T-Mobile Simple Choice for Business plan. We get unlimited data with no overage charges, all in America's fastest 4G LTE network. Now it doesn't matter how much data my team needs every month. My bill stays the same. Switch to T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/business.
Limited time only, subject to change. Fastest 4G LTE based on download speeds. See T-Mobile.com for details.
Glad you're with us. Good Tuesday. Time for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. With AutoTrader alerts, they'll let you know when the price drops on a car you've been searching for. They'll even send you cars that match what you're looking for. Sign up for text alerts at AutoTrader.com. Did you know that almost every state checks your credit when you're shopping for car insurance?
People with bad credit or no credit, there's a correlation between that situation and higher claims activity. So they say there's a financial reason that they do this.
Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Coombs says California, Massachusetts, and Hawaii are the only states that don't check when it comes to car insurance. And by the way, people with bad or no credit can pay as much as 123% more than those with good credit. It's 10 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. The World Health Organization says that the West African Ebola death toll has hit 1,229. Meanwhile, an American being treated for Ebola says he hopes to leave Atlanta's Emory University Hospital soon. That's Dr. Kent Brantley, and he, along with fellow American Nancy Wrightbull, she's also at Emory. Her husband says that she is improving and moving in the right direction. Former Vermont Senator Jim Jeffords has died at the age of 80. He single-handedly tipped the balance of power in 2001 when he left the Republican Party. The affable and low-key Jeffords served three terms in the Senate after spending 14 years in the House. Another night of police and protesters clashing in Ferguson, Missouri, and ended with one person hit by gunfire more than a week after the police shooting that killed teen Michael Brown.
These are not acts of protesters, but acts of violent criminals.
Highway Patrol Captain Ron Johnson President Barack Obama says that Attorney General Eric Holder will be in Ferguson tomorrow as the Justice Department launches a civil rights probe. Sprint is entering the price wars. The carrier plans to offer new data-heavy family plans for $100. Will also pay you up to $350 when you switch from a rival, but it's dropping its so-called family plans, featured in those quirky television commercials with the talking hamster. Stock futures this morning are moving higher after the Dow gained 176 points amid takeover activity and investors turning attention toward interest rates at the Fed's central bank summit on tap this week. Home Depot is a stock to watch after raising its outlook for the year. That's a Dow component. Israel and the Palestinians have agreed to extend a Gaza truce by another 24 hours. And that happened just minutes before an Egyptian brokered ceasefire was set to expire, but gaps remain on major issues amid efforts to achieve a long-term deal between Israel and Hamas. Admit it, if you've ever used valet parking, there is at least a fleeting thought that maybe the valet is taking your car for a joyride. Well, with that in mind, GM's new 2015 Corvette offers an optional valet mode, a windshield camera that can record where the car goes. And it records what's being said inside the car.
Nice. You know what? I do find that a lot of times valets want to drive my 2004 Toyota Camry approaching 200,000 miles just so they can see the cassette player in there.
Oh, yeah, because they've probably not seen one of those in ages, right?
7 minutes in front of the hour. Nonprofits are trying to figure out how they can benefit from something like the Ice Bucket Challenge, the latest social media trend. At one point yesterday, it was generating 1,800 tweets a minute. The latest numbers, more than $15 million raised over the past 3 weeks for ALS compared to $1.2 million over the same period last year. Other health charities are hoping to capture some of the boost in awareness and fundraising. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy. Sumathi, what are the lessons here?
I mean, lessons learned. I mean, I talked to one marketing woman who said, you know what, this is like, it's the kind of thing you can't plan for it. I mean, it's the kind of thing this, like I said, it wasn't, no particular organization did this as part of its marketing. So it's the kind of thing that, like, when it happens, it's a beautiful thing, but it's not something that, like, you know, this particular woman with this organization felt like that you could do. But there are other organizations, particularly for rare diseases. ALS is a rare disease. A lot of people don't know what it is, who think, wow, these, you know, we don't have a big marketing campaign. We're sort of a grassroots, scrappy organization. But maybe we can come up with something really cool and easy for people to do that taps into their sort of, you know, psyche, and then it goes viral and causes everyone to know about our random little organization.
So surely all these teams are strategizing, right, about what can be done. Anybody have any related ideas that they were willing to share?
There are. There's a man who started a foundation for his daughter who has the San Gimignano disease, and he's doing a fundraiser called Sing Two Lines, where he's trying to get his Facebook friends to sing two lines and then hashtag Sing Two Lines along with Save Eliza, the name of his daughter, and hoping to he's raising money for research. The American Suicide Prevention Foundation, they had a supporter who started a Mrs. Doubtfire-like campaign on behalf of, in memory of Robin Williams, mm-hmm. where they're trying to get people to put their face in a pie or shaving cream in their pie and post it and say, you know, like after the movie Mrs. Doubtfire, and donate money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are copycats that are starting to spring up. I mean, I talked to one fundraising expert who said, you know, of course there's going to be copycats. It happened. The same thing happened with the Lance Armstrong bracelets, you know, a decade ago. Mm-hmm. Most of them, you know, will they raise millions of dollars like ALS? No, probably not. But, you know, they might raise some money, and, you know, some money is always better than none, obviously.
All right. Something will come out for sure. One of these other grassroots efforts. Thanks, Sumathi. Wall Street Journal reporter Sumathi Reddy in New York. That'll do it for this hour. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 50-plus job sites, including Craigslist, LinkedIn, and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 200,000 businesses. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.